Welcome, folks, to the October 12th Aries Working Group call. We have some good discussions planned, also some late addition to the agenda that I haven't typed in there yet that will be fun to talk about. So yes, welcome all. This is Hyperledger call, and so please mind the antitrust policy and the Hyperledger code of conduct to help us make sure we are excellent to each other and avoid encumbering our work with legal issues. Welcome to add yourself to the attendees list or make any other adjustments useful or necessary to the agenda. It is a wiki, so you're welcome to do so. Is there anyone new today that would like to introduce themselves? Okay, I recognize about everybody. Well, welcome back, y'all. Announcements, we've got IW coming up mid-November. Also, Anon Creds is a Hyperledger project. Steven, what's the state of that, and does the proposal still need review?
Happy to have reviews of that. I have been adding to the bottom section of it, and as well, if anyone has it thinks this is a good idea and has not put their name on the sponsors list, that would be helpful as well. Again, the sponsors is just people. You can mention your organization, but we need your name and email address is what's important according to the rules. And then that will be converted in. I'm still debating whether it's time to do it for tomorrow's TSC meeting, TOC meeting, or I wait till next week. I think I'm leaning towards next week just because there's a lot to do.
Appreciate your effort there, Stephen. So if you're interested in the Anon Creds effort and code to support that, then that's where the magic happens. Are there any announcements that we should have on the list but don't? All right. Any projects want to share release status or work updates?
Release 075 RC0 is out for Akapai. We will then almost immediately we'll just have a couple of people check some things out and then put the 075 official patch release out as well. So those two things have happened. That one thing has happened, the second is about to happen.
Awesome.
One other thing related to shared, kind of related to shared components, we're working on scripts to convert Anon Creds format, verifiable credentials and presentations into W3C format. So there'll be more published about that and people can take a look and provide their views on it. But we've got some working code and a little bit more to come, and then we'll share that out.
Awesome. There'll also be some discussion a little later about coordination with CCG efforts. So good work on that. Any other updates folks want to share?
I just wanted to mention, Sam, that there's a new entry in the frameworks, PICOs as area agents, also known as ACAPICO. It's a new entry, but it's not new. Work has been stagnant for the last couple of years, but Phil Windley now has three students working on upgrading to DIDCOM V2.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bruce, for the report. All right. So here's what we have on our agenda today. And Stephen, not included here is a list of anything that we needed to clean up from last week or to continue discussion on for the OCA PR. We want to talk about proxy ledger access that I expect to be a short discussion, but just to kind of figure out where we are. There's a minor versions PR that we can also blame Stephen for that we need to discuss. I mean, blame in the gratefulest possible sense. And then there's a question asked by Patrick in the Discord channel that relates to some larger discussion to have about coordination with the CCG and the Verifiable Credentials Working Group. And that also needs to probably blend with a little bit of conversation about the Open Wallet Foundation and how it relates to the Aries Project and what types of interactions we as a community want there. I just left that meeting and there's code contribution discussions happening. And so I wanted to have that. So today is a lot of open discussion about things. So I appreciate you speaking up with knowledge and or opinions about the project or the state of things, and that will be really helpful and help us all. So this is definitely one to unmute for, or raise your hand, or what, however, or type, or however you feel most comfortable to share with what's going on, as that will make our group discussion very productive today. Any adjustments that we should make before we get going?
From last week's call, I wasn't there, but Ariel mentioned that you wanted to know something about the group messaging stuff that we did during rebooting the Web of Trust. We have a presentation, but I think the agenda is already pretty full, so I don't know if we're going to fit that into this week's agenda.
How long is your presentation? I think I dropped particular ball. You said it's about 20 minutes?
No, 20 slides, about around 20 slides. But I think it's also good to have some open discussion after that. I think that would be valuable. So if that doesn't fit, then we'll have to move it to next week.
I think proxy ledger access and minor versions may be able to be bumped in order for that to happen, because I actually would really love to have that conversation. I think it's going to be highly relevant, particularly in the next month leading up to IW. Is anyone opposed to putting these off till next week and grabbing the presentation? And again, that's probably my failure to remember that we had talked about that last meeting. Steven's a fan. Okay, we're going to do this. I'm just going to move this to the bottom, and then we're going to start with the group messaging presentation. Does that sound good? Any other adjustments we want to make? All right, let's do it, which means I think you're up next. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, sure. Let me share my screen.
You are up.
Thank you. Now, it's always fun to see if this actually works, if it is in slide mode. Is this visible to everybody? Like the full slide?
Yep, we can see it.
Okay, cool. So, as said, Ariel, Alexander, Berend, and myself, during the reboot, the Web of Trust, we were interested in working on DITCOM and group messaging and how that would work. So the original proposal was to basically to work towards a set of protocols that allow us to sort of create a chat app that could compete with all the modern chat apps that are out there, like WhatsApp, Telegram, Signal, etc. So features you might expect there are group chat, delivery and read receipts, attachments, what you name it. But before RWOT started, we already realized that that was quite ambitious, that we might have to scope down a little bit. So we focused on group messaging and in NYS relationships, but then specifically scalable group messaging. And that was a little bit related to conversations we've had earlier during this call. We are really focusing on like sort of the lower or the lowest layer. So really mostly about networking. So things we wanted to consider is the group size. We want it to be scalable because other more centralized chat applications are usually have quite big group sizes. Here WhatsApp has 512. We want to keep the network loads to a minimum, which we'll get to in a bit. And minimizing trust is obviously always preferable, and the scalability point is still there, but I should have removed that, so I'll skip that. There is some prior work on this, also discussed in previous working groups, for like state syncing, gap detection, and recovery. Daniel Hartman did a proposal, but I think also I pulled that proposal or that PR again. It's a gossip protocol. Sam, you worked on ThreatSync, which they sort of tried to, if I'm correct, solve the same issue in different ways. And then you have the analyze did exchange protocol and threat participant protocol, which are more about the participation management around a group. So who joins, who is part of the group, who controls that, etc. So this is what we did is a bit separate of this. It's much more network related. Networking, there we go. So most obvious thing, if you start thinking about Bitcoin and peer-to-peer networking in general, in group scenarios, is we're gonna do it fully peer-to-peer. So if Alice is in a group with Bob and Carol, she will send one message to both because for them to receive that message, she needs to send it twice. She will encrypt it also for them individually. And as you can imagine, this causes some overhead. First of all, it's an advantage is that it's good. Like it's you have no intermediates, so there is quite maximum privacy. I don't know, but it's quite private. But the disadvantage is scalability. One, Alice has to encrypt every message individually for everyone, but she also has to send the message. The group size minus one amount of times, which will work in this little scenario. But if you think about a group of 500 people, then that becomes a problem. So we basically just during the rebooting the Web of Trust, we just went through different scenarios. We don't have an answer. These are just some ideas we had, and we'd like to discuss those with you all. So. Well, the other obvious one is using a centralized server like other chat apps like WhatsApp, et cetera, do. So here, a message or Alice only sends a message to one message to a centralized node, and that node will then broadcast it to the rest or send it out to the other participants. And here, we assume that the group metadata and the group metadata could be an avatar that is related to the group name, but also the participant list, for instance, who is part of that group. In this model, we assume that that is stored on the server itself, which obviously has some disadvantages. Well, the good thing is we only need to send the message once. Manipulating or managing the metadata is relatively easy compared to doing that fully peer-to-peer, because now we just have to modify one central registry and everybody is up to date. But an obvious disadvantage is now we have a centralized node in the middle and everybody needs to trust that node. And also, what if that node goes down? And this doesn't have to be one machine. Think of Facebook, the Facebook network outage. Those were multiple machines, but controlled by one party. And then WhatsApp was completely down. So that's not ideal either. So we thought of something we have coined broadcaster, but it's basically comparable to a mediator, but where a mediator is used for inbound traffic, we could use this for outbound traffic. The big difference here compared to the previous slide, they look a lot alike, is that the group metadata is now not stored there. So everybody, the participant list, for instance, and the group name, etc., that is all maintained by the peers and not on the broadcaster itself. So here, Alice would send a message The message obviously is encrypted for both recipients, but along with the message says, hey, forward this to these two recipients. Let me see, am I missing something? No, I think I got it. Well, so advantages here, again, we only need to send it once. So it's not a problem in terms of scalability. You don't, in this diagram, you have a single point of failure, but everybody can use their own broadcaster, just like everybody uses their own mediator. So you don't really have a single point of failure anymore. And we have less trust involved here because we don't, well, first of all, we don't, the entire group doesn't need to trust one node, but can choose who they trust. And you can use multiples, like you don't have to always use the same one. Well, the downside is that because we are now doing the metadata management decentralized, that makes it more complex. That's fine, we have protocols for that. And the broadcaster will learn the endpoints. So in this case, if we have a group of 500 people and Alice sends a message to the 499 other participants in the group, then they will learn all the endpoints of that group. Now, you could sort of overcome that by using multiples, but you come into a scalability problem again if you're gonna divide your message over 30 broadcasters. Now you have to send 30 messages, but you just wanted to send one. So we came up with this little weird diagram, which is something very experimental, and I'm very curious what people think of this. And this is basically a, called it a mixnet, but it's not necessarily that. But here the idea is that Alice sends one message to a single broadcaster, so you only send the message once. And by using envelope encryption, the broadcaster unpacks the message that is meant for them. They find, okay, I need to send this encrypted message to Bob, and now forward the rest to the next node in the route. And this is very comparable to how onion routing works, for instance. And well, the good thing here is that no one broadcaster learns the full recipient list. So I have to send the message only once, which was not the case here. But I, because we are using this onion routing stuff, the first broadcaster only knows that Alice is talking to Bob and not to Carol, David, Aaron, Fred, etc., etc. Downsides are, as with Tor or whatever, this introduces latency. It doesn't necessarily require a discovery mechanism, I guess, but I think, well, it's something to think about, and it obviously increases the complexity of the routing itself. So these were the ideas with regards to networking itself. Ariel will now say something about the coordination of the broadcaster. Ariel, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Here. I can hear you.
If you can, move out the. For the next slide. Yeah, well, actually, what I'm going to talk is about the simplest use case, not the last one that Karim mentioned about the mixnet, but one of the goals of this, of all this stuff, is not only to avoid sending the message multiple times, but also to avoid encrypting it multiple times, because we have in mind mostly those agents that are limited in resources, but not only on the bandwidth, but also in the computing power. So if we can manage to encrypt to do the encryptions only once or a couple of times instead of 100, it will be good, right? So one of the challenges we have here with the broadcaster or the outbound mediator is that we have to find a way to use it to broadcast the message or to send the message, the messages, but somehow we want it to know nothing about the contents itself. So we will need to find a way to agree to have a group key where all messages are encrypted with. So which is one of our main questions, open questions, let's say, but we will talk about that later. So basically, the idea is that when a sender, in this case, a sender that is using only one broadcaster wants to send a message, they have to send the message encrypted with the group key plus the recipient list to that the broadcaster in order to let the broadcaster to generate the forward messages going to each of them, maybe with a mediator like in this case. And in order to set up that broadcaster, probably we will need to define a kind of protocol in order to, I don't know if you can go ahead, Karim. Well, this is an explanation about, yeah, so for instance, the routing coordination protocol where we have to request the mediation to a mediator in order to ask it to receive messages for us, we will need to somehow register to the broadcaster in order to be able to send messages through it. And also to define some broadcasting lists, one for each group, or maybe we can split the group in different broadcasters, as Karim said. I don't know if you could go ahead, please. Yeah. So you see that we have the request of broadcasting, create or update broadcasting lists. And to broadcast the message itself. Why we are going to maintain a persistent broadcasting list? Actually, it's because if we don't do that, we will need to send both the message, the encrypted message, and also the recipient list every time we need to send a message. And in cases of 500 recipients, that will be a lot of overhead to only send a hello, let's say, right? So that's why probably we will need to define some protocol like this to just say to the broadcaster to send a message, the hello encrypted, plus a header saying send it to this list ID, right? It's more like that. But that being said, we are not absolutely sure if it will need it, if this scheme will need a new actor or maybe or new kind of messages or protocols, or maybe with the it can be somehow solved with the new DITCOM V2 routing protocol. I mean the forwarding and that stuff that probably you guys can advise how to achieve that, right? So yes, I think that's it.
I'll talk about these slides. Can I go to the next one? Okay, so as Ariel mentioned, something about a group key is that we thought about because we didn't want to really encrypt every or the message like 500 times for every single person. So we thought of, I think, as Colton already mentioned in the chat, a common encryption key that is shared between all the participants where they can encrypt and decrypt the messages that they receive and send. This is mainly thought of because we really focus on like mobile environments, and that they don't really like to encrypt 500 messages every time you want to send hello to someone. So with that in mind, we thought of that, the group key, a shared encryption key to encrypt the messages. So the advantage is that, well, if you add 10,000 people to the group, you still encrypt it only once, which is quite nice. There are obviously some downsides with a shared key. There's another complexity in state synchronization. So everyone has to use the same group key. How do you synchronize that? How can we, you know, update keys to everyone? And how do you know which keys to use? Also, there are now more attack points. So everyone in the group can share the key with other people, and they can also kind of get access to the group. And now security is only as strong as the weakest link, meaning that if one person doesn't know how to handle their group key, the entire group is leaked. So this is something that we might have to, can you go back? something that we have to discuss a bit more, if this is a viable option. For instance, if we use broadcasters, we might be able to encrypt a message like 500 times, because we can just have the broadcaster be a more powerful computer than a mobile phone. So with a broadcaster, we might be able to just use the DIV pair encryption keys instead of another one. And can you go to the next one now? Yeah. So what we also thought about, but not for a long time, so I can't really give a very large explanation of this and how it will integrate into Bitcoin, but popular messaging apps like Signal, they use the double ratchet mechanism for forward and backward secrecy. This is a way to have a key per message, so that every message rotates to a new key, where another key, so the key derivation function gives the key for every single message, but there is also another key that can be shared across the group with Diffie-Hellman key exchange. And with this, we can synchronize our group key without actually all the time sending a message to everyone like, hey, this is the new group key. So if we want to have, if every message needs a different kind of encryption key, we can't really do a Diffie-Hellman key exchange before every message, because that would just like explode the network usage, and we don't really want that. So if we can somehow integrate this into our solutions, we might be able to optimize it even further. But this is something that we are really new to, and we have to research this more. But it would be very interesting to hear if anyone has any more knowledge on this, that we can maybe work together towards a more more proper solution. I think that's it. So if anyone is interested in this work, you can send an email to Karim, and we can include you probably in some work that we're doing. And maybe Karim has something to mention about the DITCOM working group.
That's not sure yet, but we are looking at maybe doing a separate working group for this group messaging stuff. Sub-working group, I have to say. Thank you for listening. I'll stop sharing my screen.
This is great. Mo's got his hand up, and then I've got some feedback.
Moritz. Oh.
Yeah, I've got a question and a semi-question. One is with respect to the...
Mo, it's a little difficult to hear you.
One second.
Your audio is really soft.
Maybe you can type it in chat.
Yeah, I can also do that. Otherwise, wait, I can't. Probably, hopefully, make
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, we can, really.
Okay. No, yes, no? Otherwise, I'll type it.
Yeah, it's still restored hard to hear.
Okay, so one was regarding.
Just type.
One was. Okay, I'll just type. Sorry about that.
Okay, no, and we'll get to your question in the chat. But thank you for speaking up, though. On the key derivation, in the DIDCOM working group, we had a review of MLS, which is a message-based component or corollary to TLS. And MLS is interesting because it actually talks about key derivation functions, but then doesn't define the transport or the other sorts of things that it happens over. And so there's the potential for a really nice match between a DIDCOM protocol to enable MLS, but then just use MLS in a standard way to make that happen. And I believe that would be a nice way to leverage that work. The other thought that I would mention is that DIDCOM as it stands, even DIDCOM v2, doesn't actually have the concept of what we call a cryptographic session. So there's not really a way to decide that you're going to use a group key and then use DIDCOM exactly to encrypt that there. It's possible that we could come up with some sort of compromise or workaround that has been discussed for the next version of DIDCOM, but that's not a close thing. But that option of a session would be really powerful for situations where you need a key other than the recipient's. The direct recipient's key in order for that encryption to occur. So that's not really a solution that I mentioned, but I just wanted to bring those things up as things that had been discussed to make that happen. One of the shortcuts that we've taken that I suggested in the ThreadSync and Thread Participant stuff is that if we decide to get along and basically decide to trust that. That any deception by a group member might be detected, then we could get around the need to actually encrypt it directly to everyone, but rather to allow for the retransmission mixnet style of the stuff that actually goes on. You can prevent manipulation by signing the messages that you're actually transferring, and that will greatly solve the ability to make that happen. The mixnet thing I thought was really interesting because. I had always sort of considered, you know, I had talked about the concept of someone volunteering to be a supernode, and the mixnet thing is sort of a larger expansion of that, to the point where you could embrace the presence of a variety of those and then make that happen. So this would be interesting from that perspective, but certainly isn't a complete solution. There. So I have a lot to think about with what you presented, and I'm grateful for your work and presentation.
Great. Thank you. That's good feedback. Thanks.
Any other comments, questions, thoughts? Alex, your hand's up. Alex, Andre, sorry.
Yeah, do you want to do... Yeah. Yeah, do you want to do most questions or you just text it in the chat and then I can ask?
That was really hard for me to understand. I don't know if it's just me having issues today.
No, I think he posted something in the chat. I think that's what he said.
Oh, I saw a message from Mo, but I didn't see one from Alex yet. Okay.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, thank you so much for the presentation. That was really, really insightful. I guess a quick question I'm still trying to understand my head around is, how is a broadcaster different from a mediator? And like, I guess, why would someone be incentivized to be a broadcaster? Is it because like they have more network bandwidth? Is there something like that happens at the mediator level?
So it is very comparable, I'd say, to a mediator, as in it is a like it's literally that, but then meant for outbound traffic. Mm-hmm. So in the, so they are quite comparable in that sense. They're also comparable in that you don't, it doesn't save any state or something. You just say, hey, I'm going to send this to you and you forward it to the rest. Why would anyone be incentivized to host it or to use one?
Yeah, I guess like that. If I am the group chat owner, I have an incentive to send a text message to 500 people or so.
Yeah.
So like I can see why the person that creates the group chat can be incentivized to be the broadcaster at the same time. I guess my question comes, what happens when the person that wants to start the group chat doesn't have the resources to become a broadcaster?
So become a the idea of a broadcaster is that it's not a mobile device. Just as I answered that, you basically offload that that task of sending the message multiple times to one or multiple broadcasters. And the incentive to start one, I think, is very comparable to, or to host one, is very comparable to the incentive of hosting a mediator. You want to receive messages or you want to take part in a group chat. So you need a broadcaster. That could be it could be a paid service. It could be, but I think we run into that same question when we think about mediators, right?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, it sounds to me like it should be kind of like integrated already in the mediator. And like, if you wanted to have broadcasting capabilities, it should do broadcasting as well. So, okay, that makes sense. Thank you so much. And I guess
we have, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, now we have coined these differently because a mediator is typically understood as something for inbound traffic. And we said, okay, this is a broadcaster, but you're completely right. I mean, it could be an extension of the mediation protocol, or they could be joined or merged. They're not that different.
Got it. So it's kind of like a smart forwarding mechanism, like conceptually.
That's it. Yeah. It's not even that smart.
Yeah. I guess like, yeah, something that's definitely like worth like talking about as well is like maybe like based on the group chat, we can have like different protocols, right? Because like if you have like 1,000 people in a group chat, like Telegram chats or like usually my WhatsApp group chats are like 5 or 6 people, like probably we can do different implementations there.
And so just one thing to note also. So that is very much like a mediator. It is not the idea is not that one group chat uses one broadcaster or uses a certain set of broadcasters. You can switch any a participant can choose their own, and you can rotate or change them for every message. Would be quite flexible there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How do you know the broadcaster? Where to broadcast the messages? Is a participant list somewhere?
Actually, when you
take this
one. When a sender wants to send a message, it will need to send the participant list. So for instance, suppose that you have a group of 100 people. Maybe you can send 50 to a broadcaster and 50 to another. And in order to optimize this, we can define a kind of coordination protocol or something like that in order to define a fixed list for a broadcaster in order to just for the following messages to just send the message and the ID of this created list. So the broadcaster will know where to send that.
Okay, so the broadcaster will know the participant list.
The participant list you defined, yes, of course, but you can split the participant list in different broadcasters in order to not let a single of them to know the full participant list.
So I mean there are two approaches. Either you send it with the message, like hey, I have this message, and send it to these X amount of people. Or you could indeed potentially like store a recipient or participant list at a broadcaster or multiple broadcasters. What the best way there is still, I don't know, I have to think about that more, I guess.
Yeah, and actually, if we are talking about peer DIDs, probably is not a big deal if our trusted broadcaster knows about our groups, because the IDs will be different each time. So maybe
yeah.
we can. I mean, it would not be a big problem there.
This is really good. I'll mention historically that we've talked about an outbound mediator, but it was always in the context of privacy, not necessarily message distribution. And so this is the broadcaster aspect is a newer concept or an expanded idea there, rather than still being encrypted and created in the by the original sender. And then just sent for privacy reasons through an outbound mediator, that this would be a slightly more active role in the process. So cool to see the thinking around that.
Yeah, actually, this broadcaster idea actually came from the mobile environment, because we were thinking about if we are going to do or willing to do a chat application, an instant messaging application with Bitcom, we will need probably to send several messages. I won't say per second, but I don't know, per minute, for instance. We will send several messages to different people, or maybe to the same person. And for that purpose, it could be useful to have a single outbound endpoint where to send our messages and delegate to that entity the hard work of sending everything and to make sure that the message is delivered and that stuff that could be costly for a mobile device, and also a mobile application that will go background and the OS will kill after a few seconds and that kind of stuff. So probably it could be useful for other purposes than the group messaging.
For sure. Excellent. Thank you for presenting on that. That's fantastic. We're going to use the remaining time to talk about both the CCG and Open Wallet. Here are some, these are our cross coordination type of concerns. And the first one I'll bring up, that Patrick mentioned, that the Verifiable Credentials Working Group is specifically references the Aries community as an external organization to coordinate with. And I'm curious if we have anyone here today that is an active participant already in that effort, in the sense that they're monitoring and attending meetings for the Verifiable Credentials Working Group. This is the group that is working on, Stephen.
I was just going to say, I monitor the group and on the mailing list and read through a number, like I find out what's going on all the calls, but I haven't been on a call in quite a while.
This is the group working on the next version of the VC data model spec. So this has been on my list to monitor. I just got my motivation together to sort of make that happen, and then realized that you've got to be a member in order to of the W3C in order to attend this working group, which I think is true. At least I was unable to find a way to do it other than that. So this is something that would be useful, particularly for the forward and non-creds group, but I wanted to sort of bring that up. Really, it aligns more to a non-creds than to Aries specifically. But there's some sort of cross interest in the group here as far as what's going on. This could be useful in the sense that the next version of the data model spec to come out could be a little more friendly or a little less, not that it's crazy hard, as Stephen has referred to, but it might be a little bit more streamlined in order to to work alongside Anon Creds in that effort. And so Stephen's monitoring. Is there anyone else? I'm attempting to, but have not yet successfully done so, just because of the membership hurdle that I've got to jump through.
Note that this is the verifiable credential working group. What Patrick was alluding to was the CCG, which is the
this is actually a copy and paste out of his message.
Okay. Sorry. Verifiable credentials working group.
For sure. Not that this couldn't, this succession can't address the CCG as well, but this is the specific one that he was mentioning.
Okay. The one other thing to add, Sam, is you can become, without becoming a member, you can become an invited expert.
You can.
We debated that for a little bit back and forth of whether I would do that and decided not to in the end. We may revisit that with this idea of Anon Creds aligning closer with of being able to produce Anon Creds in a VC spec format. A VC standard format, sorry, capital V, capital C standard format.
Yes, and my interest is primarily in making sure that Anon Creds can align, or whatever we can do there to sort of make that work in a sensible way. If we're not involved, I worry that it will not pay attention at all, and it could go in a bad way that could make future work with that more difficult.
Yeah.
And so
if you're not a member, you cannot attend at least.
I believe that's correct. You can't. I couldn't get the meeting link without actually being a member. That was,
yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to pursue the invited expert thing to see. I'm not super excited about paying a membership to the W3C just to join this conversation. Okay, but Stephen, you're monitoring this, or were you referring to the CCG?
Both, actually. So yes, I am monitoring this. I read through, for instance, they just had the TPAC, which is their face-to-face meeting in Vancouver, and read through all of the presentations and so on related to that. One of the topics there, not necessarily big topics, but one of the topics there was folder binding, which is a concept that is not part of verifiable credentials, W3C verifiable credentials, but of course is core to one of the core elements of Anon Creds. So it's one of the differentiators between approach, which is this idea that you actually verify that the presenter is the same party as to whom the credential was issued. That's not part of the VC spec. So they talked a bunch about that. There's also some work, other interesting presentations. It was interesting stuff to read through. It's the biggest problem I find with these is you can't listen to things. Your only option really is to read through the notes and try to infer what's happening, the scribe notes.
Right.
And I know also that Sam Smith is presenting and pushing this ACDC model because it is based on property graph. So it's kind of a change of the model. So I know that he's also on that, pushing on that side.
Yes, I did know that as well. Okay. So that's one conversation. Stephen, I'm glad you're there. I'm trying to become a little more connected there. The other thing that happened just prior to this one was the Open Wallet Foundation met. We've talked about the Open Wallet Foundation prior, and the original model was to sort of develop new software. There was a bunch of feedback, and they're now pursuing a model where there can be a collection of projects or code bases inside of the Open Wallet Foundation in order to pursue their goals. So I've been reached out to independently to see what I thought the possibility was that Aries might be interested in such a thing, and this is a little bit squishy because there's not hard definitions or a hard proposal to evaluate, but the implication there was that rather than Aries just sort of potentially using the output of Open Wallet Foundation efforts, that some Aries code bases, some or all Aries code bases, could actually be a direct contribution to the Open Wallet Foundation. And so this is a little bit hard to have a conversation about because I don't know exactly what I'm asking here. in the sense of, but I have just in spite of running these meetings, I have no authority to speak on behalf of the group, right? And so kind of what I'm looking for is reactions to or thoughts about the types of interactions that we could have with the Open Wallet Foundation and things that we might consider there. So this is a bit of an open question for anyone that has related thoughts about how we might interact with them in the future or what our desires or concerns might be.
Certainly, it's an interesting question. I mean, John Jordan of BCGov was contacted to say, hey, do you want to contribute, you know, the BC wallet to Open Wallet? It's like, it's an entirely open source Linux Foundation under the Aries. It wasn't clear how best to respond to that. It's clearly already been contributed as open source. So
I think there's some misunderstanding by a lot of those folks about what Aries actually is.
Yeah.
Which is not really helping the clarity of the conversation.
Yeah. Maybe the thing to do is offer to do a presentation on what Aries is.
There's also a high volume conversation going on in a Discord channel about technical architecture, and it's hard to take busy schedules and then stay on top of a fast moving conversation.
Exactly.
And it's, I've got mixed feelings about it because on one hand it could be really good. On the other hand, it could be really bad, and it's hard to know how to apply attention. Has anyone else been following those conversations, or am I the one that's been insanely trying to do so?
What are those conversations?
With the Open Wallet Foundation. It's a brand new, so there's a little hierarchy here. There's Hyperledger, there's Linux Foundation, and then there's Hyperledger, and then there's Aries, and that's where we live. Underneath the Linux Foundation at the top is where the Open Wallet Foundation is getting created. So it's sort of a sister organization to Hyperledger. And they're now pursuing a model where there can be sub-projects inside of it in order to pursue the goal, which ends up looking kind of a lot like Hyperledger, but for wallet-specific focus, not really ledger-specific focus. And so there's interesting discussions about where we want to be and everything else. I feel very well supported by Hyperledger. I'm not really anxious to look for a new home organization. There's also the potential that pieces of what we do here, not the whole thing, could actually be there. For example, IndieVDR and Askar are two of the things sort of that have lived under the Aries group that could be, I'm not proposing this necessarily, but could be a candidate for sort of a partial donation or transfer or whatever to the Open Wallet Foundation, as they have sort of wallet building things. It's also a little unclear because they haven't exactly defined the scope of the Open Wallet Foundation yet, which means that it's unclear whether things like Askar would be a good match or whether things like AFJ or Akapai could be an actual direct match with what their goals are. So it's a little fun when new organizations arrive on the scene, trying to figure out where the boundaries are and who is going to kind of work on what, and to try and avoid replication there. It's a challenging process. If you do have opinions, I would love for you to reach out and share them with me or thoughts. I'll do my best to report on kind of what's going on. And then, of course, anything that we do as a group, we'll need to sort of have an actual proposal that we discuss and make a decision on. This is kind of the only other prior thing that we've done even remotely similar to this was the fact that the DIDCOM effort started over in the DIF, and that was less substantial than the, kind of the potential changes here. And so there's not a ton of precedent for this and exactly what the workflow ought to be in the group, but it's necessary that we as a group work to ask the right questions and make the right decisions about how this goes forward. But I wanted to bring it up just because of how much of kind of what a big thing it is. There's lots of momentum and energy. It's having a mild effect of sort of dominating conversations just because it's new. And so it's a little bit of a difficult thing to sort of manage and figure out where we best fit into. I'm uninterested in efforts to substantially delay or complicate our work. We've got a lot going on, a lot of progress being made, and I have zero interest in making that harder. but we'll have to see kind of how this shakes out and what seems to make the most sense. So anyone who wants to be involved in those conversations, I can like help point you to where they're actually occurring, and I'll do my best to sort of bring that information back to this group as I can. And with that, we're about out of time. I appreciate the group messaging presentation. That was really thought provoking, and I think there's a lot of good stuff here. And then we have a couple things we're deferring to next week, including proxy ledger access was kind of answered in chat, which I appreciate, Stephen, you answering that. And then the minor versions PR needs some discussion, and we need to move that forward. So please feel free to comment on the PR, and if necessary, we can bring it up in a future Aries working group meeting. Also, next week, I will not be available to run this meeting. Stephen, do you have a little bit of bandwidth to do so?
Sure. Delighted.
I appreciate that. I'm at a conference next week. We're traveling back from and won't quite be around. Sounds good. So Stephen will run next week, and then we will see you all elsewhere and all the things. Grateful for everyone coming and all the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.